What a blessing, of course, to be in the house of the Lord, and hope this could encourage us tonight, my friends, of course, hearing from the Word of God, and then into the missionary updates, and then the prayer time, of course, and then looking forward to that as well. And I'd like to encourage us from 1 Peter tonight, 1 Peter chapter 2, tonight's message about Jesus Christ, our living stone. Jesus, our living stone. Of course, you and I as believers and followers of Jesus, as imitators of Jesus, as little lights, we are the lively stones. Jesus is the living stone. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start there and then ask God's blessing on the message. 1 Peter chapter 2 is speaking about, again, the theme of, you know, drawing closer to God, no surprise, spiritual growth, and how we can be more like Jesus Christ, our living stone. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 5, we'll read these two verses, and may this really speak to hearts. Again, understand if, you know, as we look at the example of Jesus Christ, he was mocked, he was rejected, he was cast away by the world, but God chose him as the Savior and the chief cornerstone to mankind's salvation. What Jesus Christ was despised and just tossed aside, rejected by those that he came to save, God deemed precious. And so just as our Savior went through that, no surprise if we get rejected, you know, and I don't like being rejected. That's hard. In fact, that's one of the one of my fears. You know, I guess they say there's different types of fears, you know, and some people fear of being wrong. Some people fear of not winning. Some people fear not being liked, and that's me. I can be wrong. I just want you to be right. I don't have to win. I just want you to win. But I want to be liked, you know, and that's, I got to warn myself. I don't want to compromise on that temptation. And so it hurts when people say no to you. It hurts when you're rejected. It hurts when you come in last. Of course, the Bible tells us those that are last shall be first. So that's our comfort. Okay, so from God's standpoint, no surprise. Let's go to verse 4. And the Word of God says, now speaking about us coming to Jesus, then it describes Jesus. So verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought again to be in thy house of prayer tonight, Lord. And what a comfort may this truly be, a time that we long forward to throughout the week, Lord, a spiritual oasis amidst the wilderness week. Thank you, Father, we can come on bended knee, and again, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to your very throne room, even tonight, Father, we ask you, bless the message, that you be glorified in all that is said and done, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Again, a little context and a little background here. Of course, after getting saved, this is, of course, written to believers. Trust, if you're hearing this, you're saved, okay, amen. After we're saved, God, of course, wants us to grow, to become more like Jesus, as our living stone. This is how he's described here. If you go to verse 2 and 3, that's kind of the context. It is spiritual growth, okay? The idea is we are lively stones, and let us be more like our living stone, Jesus Christ. So verse 2, speaking about spiritual growth, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, of course, it's about growing in our walk with the Lord, drawing closer to the Lord, being more like Jesus, our living stone, you know, And what does the sincere milk of the word tell us? Well, among other things, if you go to verse 1, the sincere milk tells us, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. In other words, to lay aside everything that is not sincere, okay? Everything that is not pure in and of myself, okay? My thoughts, our thoughts, our motives, even our very words, to kind of set those aside, take them off and don't ever take them back on. And then from the heart, obey and cleave to God's pure, sincere word. And in fact, this is not the epitome or the capstone of Christian growth. This is the very beginning. It's the very beginning of Christian growth. This is the basics, you know, and the idea that as we are born again as newborn babes to grow in our walk with the Lord. And when we talk about basics and fundamentals in the Word of God, it's not necessarily the simplest, okay, the easiest to understand, but from a standpoint of Christian growth, it is the most important. That's what we mean by the fundamentals of the Christian faith. The fundamentals meaning it is the most important to understand, from which everything else builds upon that. So, like, I don't know, take reading. You know, we learn to read in, well, I was a late learner. I was probably close to maybe fourth grade when I could read. But once you learn how to read, that's the fundamental. And then everything is built on that, right? I mean, if you can't read, you would really struggle to learn anything else because you just don't have it. So the idea is once you understand how to read, it's not as though you graduate past reading and then you never need to read again. No, it's the fundamentals, it's the basics, and then everything you learn in your life is built upon that skill of reading. Okay, so it's always there. You're always tapping into it. And so this is that context of Christian growth, the fundamentals, the basics. Again, not that it's the simplest, but it is the most necessary. It is the foundation from which everything else is built upon. If we can't read, we can't grow. If we don't have this Christian basics, we can't grow in a walk with the Lord. So what is that first fundamental basic of Christian growth? You know, the first thing that we need to become more like our living stone, well, it's to read our Bible. I know we did this many, many times, but kind of a good refresher. Again, we can't get away from that. Number one, read our Bible, the sincere milk of the Word. But it doesn't stop there. How else can we grow? Well, by becoming like Jesus, becoming unto Jesus. That's our main verse in verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. The idea is that we're drawing closer to the Lord. Don't keep him at a distance, okay? Get close to him. The idea is he is disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Of course, Jesus Christ is precious to God. How precious is Jesus to you and I? The more precious he is to us, the more we long to be by him, to draw nigh to God. Don't settle for a long-distance relationship with God. Have a close one. Have an intimate one. Jesus Christ here, he is described as the living stone. The idea is, of course, rejected of men, but chosen of God as the chief cornerstone of mankind's salvation. That's great. He is the living stone, meaning he is risen. He is victorious over death. You know, he is alive. He is active. He is present. He's not just an afterthought. He is alive right now. He sees us right now. He is present with us right now. He's not as though, you know, I miss my daughter. She moved away to Eau Claire. Maybe she's hearing this. Hi, hon. I don't know. But, you know, wherever she's at, I'm not physically with her. You know, she's there. I'm here. And that's not how our relationship with God ought to be. God is right there. Like, woo, right here. Okay, I mean, that keep that in mind. He's living. He's not just he's not just a martyr. He's the risen Lord. He's ever present. He's right here. And so that is the context that scripture is describing Jesus to us. And so he is the active, present, living Lord. And then how are we described? Look at verse 5. Ye also as lively stones. This is pretty cool. So we are lively stones. He is the living stone. The idea is just like Jesus is the living stone, we also have been what? Rejected by the world, but don't get down on that, but chosen of God. Now, we're not chosen of God to be the precious chief cornerstone. That's Jesus. Okay, he was chosen to do that. But we are chosen of God as lively stones. This is what God has chosen us for. Built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Okay, keep this in mind. Jesus Christ is the living stone. So he is the chief cornerstone of mankind's salvation. And then for us who are saved, we are chosen now as lively stones built up around that chief cornerstone. If you want to picture some kind of construct being built, okay, a spiritual temple, okay, Jesus Christ, boom, he's the chief cornerstone. And all the bricks that are added around it, those are the Christians. Those are you and I. Okay, this is pretty awesome. Okay, so we are chosen, we are rejected of the world, just like Jesus. And then God says, no, he's my precious son. He is a savior. And Peter preached this. The very one that you crucified, the very one that you rejected, God chose him, this same Jesus, to be both savior and Lord, right? And say, oh no, we messed up, right? And so he's the very same savior that was rejected by the world, rejected by the Jews. He's the Lord of all creation, the savior, the Messiah. And then you and I, as we are, you know, rejected by the world, we are also chosen by God to stack up around Jesus, to be built as as lively stones built up around Jesus to be God's spiritual house. So think of it as just God's temple, the habitation of God, and then within that as a holy priesthood. So it's not just a dormant building. It's a living building with an active priesthood of believers, you and I. And then it says, ye, look at verse 5, ye what? Also. Ye also. The also is huge because just, it means just like the same, okay? So kind of like cut and paste. So just like Jesus is the living stone, believers are lively stones because we are alive in Christ. The same Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, indwells all believers. That is amazing. Remember, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no life worth living. And the same power, this is what Ephesians tells us, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same power God also works to usward who believe. That is amazing. That also, ye also, just like Jesus, that's how we are. And what do we do as this spiritual house, this holy priesthood? Well, look at the rest of verse 5. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. So that's what we do. Jesus Christ, chief cornerstone, God chose him. And then the rest of us who are saved, we are built up around Jesus to be this spiritual building, and then an holy priesthood within to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And now this is kind of cool because it's not the Old Testament animal bloody sacrifices. These are spiritual sacrifices. And the first sacrifice that we get to offer as a lively stone is ourselves. Okay? And you know where I'm going, but let's go real quick to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, again, this is exciting. How to be more like Jesus, our living stone. Jesus, of course, offered himself, right, for our sins. He offered himself into his Father's will. And so we do the same. And so let's go to Romans 12, and we know this verse, but these two verses, actually. Romans 12, and verse 1 and verse 2. And what a wonderful reminder. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, it is a plea from the Apostle Paul to the Christians at Rome. It's a plea because God desires it, but if we don't want to do it, he's not going to stiff arm us to doing it. He desires us to do it. Now, he might chastise us to do it. He will convict us to do it, but he's not going to force us in that sense. So Paul is preaching, I beseech you, please, this is our Christian liberty to live for the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, not by his wrath, but for his mercy's sake, God is so good, and it's the goodness of God that leadeth you and I, men, to repentance, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we're stacked up around Jesus as this spiritual house, God's habitation, as this temple, and then we present our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, not a dead sacrifice. In other words, live for Jesus, right? Live for the Lord. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you think of the Old Testament priests, they were set aside, set apart, sanctified as priests to do what? To do service. That's the whole reason why they were set apart. Otherwise, why make them a priest, right? And so you and I as believers, we are, again, Jesus Christ is the living stone, but we are the lively stones, okay? So we are alive by the Spirit of Christ. We are regenerated, and we're kind of stacked around him to make service, to do a service. And be not conformed to this world. If the world reject you, my friends, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We shouldn't be conformed. Don't be a conformer, right? Don't be a conformer. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, like a bone out of joint, you know, or a piece that's not quite part of the puzzle. Or if you're building something and it's a little bit out of angle, you know, when something finally clicks into place. There is that joy of satisfaction. May that be your testimony and mine, that we are built up a spiritual house around Jesus. We're just one of the many who are saved, okay, the idea of the Lord's spiritual church, his body. But when we know our place and we click in and it goes in like, yeah, what a blessing to click where God wants us to click, right? Don't be out of alignment. You have all the bricks all stacked up. Here's one hole here. Like, hey, what happened to this brick? Well, he's over there. Just being a stubborn brick, doesn't want to come in. You know, don't be that. God wants to use us to build a spiritual house. Again, this is a literal building, but it's a spiritual building, okay? And so by offering ourselves a living sacrifice, say, Lord, here am I. Lord, I'm just a little brick, a little piece. You don't get much, but you use me, Lord, and plug me in, Lord, where you want me to go. And God does it. Just present yourselves, like here. You present yourself, but you also, kind of a play on words, that you're also present, right? Like the teacher's taking attendance. Where's this piece? You know, I think of, maybe we have too many Lego sets, you know, but, you know, when you get a Lego set for a kid, or me, okay, but when you're taking inventory, like, make sure all the pieces are present. You can't build it if you're missing a piece. You're like, oh, you don't want to miss a piece. And so I don't want to be missing from God's master creation, and God has all the inventory of all the Christians, and it all been saved. I want to be present. I don't want to be that... That piece that's not in the will of God, fallen off the table, rolled under the desk in one dark corner that you find 2 years later, like, oh, this piece, there you are. Now I can, you know, and if that's me, then I need to repent. Come unto God. That's our main verse. Come closer to Jesus. Let him use us. And so our first offering as a priesthood is ourselves. Use me, Lord. And then going hand in hand with that, let's go to Hebrews 13. This is another one of our spiritual offerings as a priest. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Again, very kind of my go-to verses, because these are all life, life verses. And they really kind of, you know, direct the way that we live our life. And so Hebrews 13, let's go to verse 15, speaking of us as priests. By him, therefore, him who? Jesus. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's awesome. Those, again, not a bloody animal sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So after this, we live for Jesus, a living sacrifice. And then we praise the Lord, praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And that goes hand in hand with the first sacrifice. You give yourself a living sacrifice. We prove God's will, like, oh, God's will is so awesome. I should have done this a long time ago. And then all you can do is bless God. All you can do is praise God, okay? And so that leads me to point number two. So the second fundamental of Christian growth, you know, becoming more like our living stone, is to pray. Shocker, right? No. I mean, the first one is read the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word. And the more milk you read eventually becomes meat, right? But it's the sincere milk, the sincere meat. And then number two, pray. And don't miss the context of praying, not just asking for stuff. It's praise. It's continual praise with thanksgiving. These are the offerings that God desires for you and I as his spiritual house, the priest in that house. And then don't just pray privately. Now, we shoot in our closets, but I'm a big proponent of public, well, not just me, God is, of public and collective prayer. You know, we are literally, spiritually, living stones coming together, okay, pieces coming together, brick interlocking with other bricks, okay, as God's spiritual house, all coming to Jesus as an holy priesthood to praise him in collective prayer. In fact, here's exciting. This is what we're going to be doing this in a few minutes. I mean, that's exciting. That's wonderful. And I see Sunday service, Thursday service, as our obedience in fulfilling what we're reading in the scriptures. I mean, it comes from the Word of God. If you don't know what the Word of God says, we can't obey it. So read the Bible. Starts there. And then pray. Pray meaning praise, okay? Praise and thanksgiving, praise. But it doesn't stop there. How else can we grow spiritually and become more like Jesus, our living stone? Well, remember, all New Testament believers are holy priests, right? No longer like Old Testament where you have the priest class, okay, like the Levites. If you go to 1 Peter with me, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter 2, you know, another you know, very, very popular verses, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, speaking about all Christians, verse 9 and 10, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, peculiar indeed. Just like Jesus, rejected by the world, but it clicks right into place where God wants us to go, that ye should show forth the praises of him, that's our offering, right? That's our sacrifice, of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. That's wonderful. So all believers are now holy priests. Now, that said, traditionally, the Old Testament priests, they offer the animal sacrifices, right? And we read that in the Old Testament. And the purpose of that was to reconcile people to God. The Israelites, okay, if they did a sin, they'll have to come forward and give the animal sacrifice, and the priest would kind of take care, minister to do that, okay? So they would help officiate the offering of sacrifices to reconcile people to God. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate sacrificial Lamb of God to reconcile once and forever the sins of the world. So therefore, you and I as New Testament believers, now we have the ministry of reconciliation by telling people the gospel. You know, we don't have to take their livestock and kill it, okay, because Jesus was the Lamb that fulfilled all that, praise God. But now we reconcile people to God by telling them about Jesus, by telling them the gospel. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, and then verse 18. It's kind of a good refresher message tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Look at this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Indeed, of course, Jesus was rejected by the world, chosen by God, precious, and hath given to us, believers, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, who is the us? Not just Paul and the Corinthians. If you go to verse 17, here's the context. Therefore, if any man, that's any man, okay, don't have to overthink it. Any man means any man. Any dispensation, it was during the New Testament, early church days, it also applies to 2025, today. If any man be in Christ, if you're saved, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In fact, not just a new creation in Christ that is part of the spiritual house of God, right? But also he's given us a new ministry. Here you are, all of us, which is this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, that's all the believers, the word of reconciliation. Again, that's part of our ministry of reconciliation, is through the word of the reconciliation, that's the gospel. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So New Testament believers are royal priests, and we are ambassadors for Christ. And the third fundamental, therefore, of Christian growth, of becoming more like our living stone, is to what? Tell others about Jesus. Witness. And so, I mean, to sum it up, to be more like our living stone, I mean, this is no, you know, shouldn't be kind of an aha, but a good reminder for us. Read our Bibles, pray. Pray meaning praise and thanksgiving, not just asking for stuff. And then number three, tell others about Jesus. Now this, again, the fundamentals meaning everything else is built upon this, like my basic arithmetic, okay? You know your pluses, your minus, your division, your multiplication, and then you add everything on there. You don't unlearn those. It adds to it. And so these are the fundamentals of the Christian faith. If we have it down, then we can start building upon that. And so that is what God desires. And so New Testament priests, we give offerings to God. But remember, our offerings, we want it to be acceptable. The Old Testament priests, they were instructed specifically to give offerings, but animals without what? Without blemish. And so that's kind of the context. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2:5, and then we kind of wrap it up there. So 1 Peter 2:5. And so, yeah, I want my offerings to be acceptable to God. Of course I do. And so verse 5 tells us, ye also, as lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by who? Jesus Christ. And so it means 100% through Jesus Christ. 100% by Jesus Christ. It's His sincere milk of the Word. Not my word. Not public opinion. It's His word. That's how we grow. It's through His name, His merits, His shed blood when I pray. It's not through my own works of righteousness. And so it's in His name that I pray His will. And in what He has done that I've been accepted in the Beloved. It's His name and His gospel that we share in witnessing. It's not just, you know, my persuasive speech. It's not just, I'm trying to coerce someone to come to church. It's the truth of the gospel. It's God's word. A sower went forth to sow. So what? The seed is the word of God. Not my opinion. That doesn't count for anything. It's God's word. It has to be through Jesus Christ all the time. That's how what I do for God is acceptable. So to recap, fundamentals of Christian growth, i.e. to be more like Jesus, our living stone. As a lively stone, it's my goal to be like the living stone, is to read my Bible, obey it, amen. We heard from God's word tonight. And then pray. The context, again, is praise and thanksgiving. We'll do that soon tonight. And then number three, witness. Hopefully, by God's grace, we'll do that this Christmas season. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord, again, that we are saved, born again as a child of God. But in this, you know, kind of this illustration here as kind of like building materials, Lord, that we are yours to use as you see fit, that we will be part of this spiritual household of God, this, this habitation of God, that we would also then serve within it, through it, as a priesthood of believers. Lord, what a tremendous thought, Lord. And certainly, sometimes it stings and it hurts when people reject us or they don't care for us or just say no to us. But Father, let us be blessed to remember that you say yes to us, Lord, and you desire to use us. Lord, help me to present myself a living sacrifice. And Lord, just plug me in where you want me to be plugged in, Lord, and help me to be an obedient vessel fit for the Master's use. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to obey, even though sometimes we might not, you know, make sense or kind of get the big picture. Let us just obey now, and then when things kind of fall into place later, we'll be so thankful that we obeyed. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.